You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
All right, back into Colossians, and we're in Colossians chapter 3, if you're following along with your own Bible. Just a real quick reminder about our setting before we move forward. There's Colossae in southwestern Turkey. This was a church that was planted not by the Apostle Paul, but by one of his colleagues, a man named Epaphras. And Epaphras has traveled all the way to Rome, where Paul is imprisoned, to report on the situation here in the Colossian church. And he's especially concerned because some false teachers have infiltrated, at least come to the city and set up shop, and they're influencing these young believers in the wrong direction about how to develop spiritually. That was a big deal in the first century, just like spirituality's in now in our culture. And it was in the first century Roman culture. But they were saying, if you want to develop spiritually, well, then you need to start observing a lot of rituals. And Paul, in this letter we saw in chapter 2, said that's not the way to develop spiritually. Some of them were saying, if you want to develop spiritually, then you got to do whatever it takes to have a dramatic spiritual experience, see a vision or something like that. And Paul says, that's not the way to develop spiritually. Some of them were saying, if you want to develop spiritually, then you got to keep yourself from being contaminated. And so here's a list of prohibitions that you need to follow. And Paul's like, that's not going to make you spiritual. He says, these things don't have any value against our real problem, which is our self-centeredness. And Paul says in this letter, he says, first, you got to receive Christ. Receive the living Jesus into your heart and let his death on the cross for your sins forgive you and put you right with God. And then what he teaches beginning in chapter 3 is that the real key after you receive Christ to developing spiritually is love. That's the key. New Testament Christian spirituality is love-centered, not ritual-centered, not dramatic spiritual experience-centered, not prohibition-centered, but love-centered. And we saw that he says at the beginning of chapter 3 that this involves cultivating a mental focus on the treasures of God's great love for you. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is and all that he provides for you. Set your mind on Christ and what he's provided for you. And then we saw last week, Paul says, from that sure foundation of God's love for you, then with God's help, we can embrace a lifestyle of giving his love to others. It's sort of like breathing. We keep taking in, inhaling the love of God for us by remembering what he's done for us. And then we keep giving that love of God away to God, back to God, and to the people that God puts in our lives. That's at the heart of real spiritual development. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. All love starts with God and comes to us through Christ, and we keep receiving his love for us, and we keep giving it back to him and to the people that he's put in our lives. We also saw last week that in this passage, Colossians 3, he is going to teach us about giving God's love away back to him. That's what we're going to look at this morning. He's going to talk about what it looks like to give God's love away to the other Christians that he puts in our lives. And then finally, he's going to talk about giving God's love away to the non-Christians that he puts into our lives. That's a healthy love life. That's a matrix for real spiritual development and maturity. So this morning, then, what does he say about loving God, responding to God's great love for us by loving God? He basically says that we love God through thankfulness to Him. Look at this in verses 15 through 17, and notice how he keeps repeating his emphasis on thankfulness. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were indeed called in one body. We'll come back to that next week. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So three times in three verses, he emphasizes that our lives are to, in an ongoing way, keep giving thanks to God. And, you know, these three passages are part of, I think there are eight different times in this little letter to the Colossians that Paul emphasizes being thankful. So that gives you some idea of how important he thought it was in developing spiritually to cultivate thankfulness. So we're just going to look at what this book and this passage teaches, how it answers these three questions. What exactly is biblical thankfulness? Why is it so important? You have to have some understanding and convictions about that. And then lastly, how can we cultivate thankfulness to God? How can we increase our thankfulness to God? Well, when we think about what biblical thankfulness is, I just want to do it by contrasting it to what I would call generic American thankfulness. There is American culture has a category for thankfulness. I think it's diminishing pretty rapidly. But let's just contrast it to what Paul teaches about biblical thankfulness. I mean, generic American thankfulness is usually about thanking other people, which is a good thing. And it can also talk about thankfulness to God in a very vague way, you know, your higher power, the God of your understanding. But in Scripture and in this letter, thankfulness is directed to the God of the Bible. Paul says at the beginning of this letter, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God who's revealed to us in the Bible is the one that we direct our thanks to. And that's important. You know, in generic thankfulness, most of American generic thankfulness is for temporal blessings. Thank you for all the wealth that you've given us. Thank you for our home. Thank you for our families. And of course, the Bible thinks that's important too, that we give thanks to God for all of our temporal blessings. But biblical thankfulness is especially focused on God's gift of salvation to us, because God says that's a greater gift than all of our temporal blessings. Notice in chapter 1, he says, our lives are about giving thanks to the Father. Why? Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, who's qualified us to be among his people. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We've been brought into God's kingdom through Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So there are temporal blessings, and we'll talk more about them, that are come from God and that are important to thank him for. But then there are these spiritual blessings, our forgiveness, our admission into God's eternal kingdom, the fact that he's given us a role to play in his plan. These spiritual blessings are even more important because they meet our deepest needs. And they're permanent. He's met our deepest needs in a permanent way. And so biblical thankfulness especially focuses on those great gifts. Generic thankfulness is in our culture, usually reserved for special events like Thanksgiving. And it's great to have a day set aside for giving thanks. We probably need that reminder. But as you'll see, what Paul is pressing us toward is a lifestyle of thankfulness, where increasingly our disposition, even our default, is to be thankful people. So you see in the passage that we started out with, those three verbs, be thankful, singing with thankfulness, giving thanks to Him, they're all in what's called the Greek present tense. In other words, what he's saying is, keep being thankful. Go on singing with thankfulness. Keep giving thanks. So he's talking about a habit that increases. You know some people who you would say, now they're thankful people. That's what he wants to move us toward. Or how about this passage in chapter 2? He says, now you've been firmly rooted in Christ. Now you're being built up in Christ so that you will be overflowing with gratitude. There's the goal. A person who is overflowing with gratitude so that when you interact with them, you come away realizing, man, they're a grateful person. That's what God wants to move us toward. Not just one or two days a year where we count our blessings, as good as that is. Generic thankfulness in our culture is rooted more in feelings. In fact, I've heard people say to me, even believers, when we talk about the importance of choosing to be grateful, they'll say, well, if I don't feel grateful, then if I give thanks anyway, it would be fake. You see, that's the way our culture thinks, that the most real thing is our feelings, which is a good way to go crazy. Right? But in the Bible, no, thankfulness is rooted as in our choice. We know who the Bible says God is. We know what the Bible says God has given us through Jesus Christ. And we know these things are true regardless of how we feel. And we don't have to wait until we feel grateful. Of course, it's great when we feel grateful to give thanks. But even and perhaps especially when we don't feel thankful, that's the time where we choose on the basis of what's true to say, I give you thanks anyway, even though I don't feel so great today. That is spiritual. So he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Be thankful. That's a command. It's an imperative. It's addressed to your will, not to your feeling. And then lastly, in American culture, thankfulness, American culture is into spirituality, but thankfulness is not a key part of it. You know, New Age spirituality, etc. Thankfulness is not a key part of it. But as we've said, it's a key part of biblical spiritual development. So Paul says in chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Of course, prayer is a part of spirituality. Keeping alert in your prayer, not just chanting memorized phrases, and with an attitude of thanksgiving, that our prayer lives, our communion with God, should be undergirded by a basic posture of thanksgiving toward God. Over 40 times in the New Testament letters, thankfulness is emphasized. And we have passages like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where he says, give thanks in all things, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to be thankful in all situations. So that's the goal. That's what biblical thankfulness, that's what God's out to do in our hearts, in our lives, after we've received Christ. So let's just think for a couple of minutes about why thankfulness would be so important. I think there's many reasons why thankfulness is so important, but I'm going to give you my top four. My first reason biblically is because it's the only sane response to God's grace. What am I talking about? Well, let me tell you a quick story. Many years ago, when my oldest daughter was about 4 years old, I was upstairs working on something in one of the bedrooms, and I heard a scream come from her bedroom. I thought, wow, I better get over there. So I go over there, and she's standing in front of this wardrobe that she has, which is packed with, you know, dresses and stuff. Mainly we got from the used clothing store, but that's all right. It's a full wardrobe. And she's standing there stamping her feet and saying, I don't have anything to wear. I'm sure that's the only time anything like this has ever happened. I just stood there in the doorway. I don't have anything to wear, as she stared at the wardrobe full of dresses. I thought, well, she's just temporarily insane. Right? She's just having a fit of temporary insanity. And then I went back to whatever I was doing in the other bedroom, and I began to think, you know, that's the way I am a lot of times. Because every single day that I wake up as someone who has sinned grievously against God, who is guilty before God, who deserves God's judgment and condemnation, and yet every day he greets me with his forgiveness, and he tells me, you're now my beloved son, and he reminds me that I'm going to live forever with him. He reminds me that he's with me every step of the way, every day. So for me as a believer to go through a day complaining about what I don't have is insane. I think we should just call it what it is. It's insanity because it's not in touch with reality. Whatever things I don't have, materially or circumstantially, are so eclipsed by what I do have because of God's grace that to not focus on that is like stamping my feet in front of the wardrobe, a wardrobe full of God's blessings, and to say, I don't have anything to wear. So to choose, what I'm saying is the more thankful you become, the more sane you become. And I am here to tell you that the converse is also true. The more ungrateful people become, the more crazy they get. In a lot of ways. That ingratitude then leads to self-pity and to resentment and envy towards others. And those are toxic to your soul. And they break you down as you go on. I see it. You see it. And we don't want to go down that path. Secondly, developing more thankfulness in our lives to God is important because it's a key to putting aside a self-centered lifestyle. You remember from last week, Paul's like, you know, the world system that we live in and our own fallen nature, they all want to seduce us into a life where we live for ourselves, where we live to try to get what we want. And that is what God says, I want you to put that whole project aside. I want you to retire that project and embrace this new project of letting me teach you how to be a giver. Not a taker, but a giver. Listen, there's a big correlation between being grateful and being a giver. And there's a big correlation between being ungrateful and being a taker. And having your life set on fire by behaviors that are toxic to you and harmful to other people. Look, in Romans 1, Paul's talking about fallen humanity, and he says, even though they knew God through his creation and the blessings that he gives us, everyone through creation, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. He said, that's the problem with humanity. It's not that they don't know God's there. They know God is there. The problem is that they don't honor him or give thanks to him. And he says, that's the catalyst for their lives being given over to selfish lusts and their hearts to impurity. And he begins to describe all kinds of different self-centered behaviors that corrupt people and that hurt other people. So he's saying, if you think about materialistic greed or sexual sin or relational demandingness like we talked about last week, those behaviors are the outgrowth of a way of thinking. And that way of thinking that's the birth of sinful behaviors is an ungrateful, unthankful posture. If I'm fundamentally unthankful, that means I feel that I'm entitled to more than I have. And that entitlement then leads me to envy people who have more than I have. Or it leads me to lust for more and more things. And that's what gives birth to these sinful behaviors that set our lives on fire. So if you want to move away from being a taker and more toward being a giver, a love giver, then the place to start is in this issue of thankfulness versus ingratitude. That's what Paul's getting out in Ephesians 5, where he says to the believers, but sexual immorality or sexual impurity or greed should not even be named among you as is proper among saints. That's not the way God's people live. And there shouldn't be filthiness or silly talk. Silly talk doesn't just mean where you joke around a lot. It means talk where you objectify people as sexual objects, stuff like that. Or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So he takes these behaviors, sexual immorality, materialistic greed, the way we use our words to tear people down. He says, that's not what's appropriate to God's children. Well, what's appropriate to God's children? Being thankful. And this is a very important point, at least it is to me. This fall, I began to get convicted by God that I was just becoming so judgmental toward people. I'm sure none of you have ever wrestled with that. To the point where I'd find myself when I was alone, I would hear me muttering out loud these vile judgments concerning people that are in my life. Have you ever heard about that? And I was like, man, that is terrible. I don't want to do this. And I prayed to God about it. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be just a judge, walk around judging people. I know where that leads. And what he showed me as I thought about it was, instead of just getting up today and saying, today, God, help me not to judge people, he said, you need to go back to work on becoming more thankful. See, that's kind of an indirect approach. The direct approach is, I'm being judgmental. God, I'm not going to judge anyone today. It doesn't work. But as he showed me, why don't you just spend more time thanking me for all that you have? Then that's what gradually killed the power of judging people. So in her great book, Choosing Gratitude, Nancy Lay DeMoss says, so powerful is the influence exerted by gratitude that when we ingratitude, such a powerful force that when we displace it with gratitude, we will likely find a multitude of other sins dislodged from our lives. Isn't that great? We've all got these self-centered habits and sins that we don't like about ourselves. She says, focus on gratitude, because as that grows, you'll see these things losing their power. And she's right. So that's a good reason for why cultivating gratitude is so important. Another good reason is because it will lead us to loving other people more. You'll become a more love-giving person toward others the more that you become more thankful toward God. And you remember, that's the goal. Our goal is to become grateful, to become givers rather than takers. And so, you know, this works, this is true for a couple of reasons. One is, the more you become thankful to God for all he's given you, the more motivated you become to love other people. In other words, the more you give thanks to God for what he's given you, the more aware you are that I'm in good hands. I'm taken care of. In fact, I'm rich in Christ. It's like Scrooge waking up on Christmas morning. He finally gets it. He's finally sane, where he's like, I'm this terrible, selfish person, and yet God's shown me mercy, and he let me live. And do you remember how that just motivated him? It gave him joy, and that joy flowed out into who can I give to, right? That thankfulness motivated him to want to serve others. And that's what will happen if you become a more thankful person toward God. The other way that this works is that, you know, the more ungrateful you are, the more you repel people. That's been one of the most tragic things that I've seen over the years, is some folks, even folks who know Christ, are so rooted in their own self-pity and ingratitude and envy and what they don't have that they'd like to have. And those people repel other people. Who wants to get closer to an ungrateful, complaining person? Right? We all have people like that in our lives, and we're supposed to love them, but that's hard. Conversely, the more thankful, I think about my mom, the more thankful you become, the more sweet-spirited you become, and the more attracted people are to you. And for a grateful person, to a believer, that means God's going to gives me more and more opportunities to show them the love of God. So ingratitude repels people from your life. And that's where we are in our culture. We got people becoming increasingly ungrateful, isolated, and repelled from others and antagonistic toward others. Grateful people become more attractive to others, which gives them more opportunities to show people the love of God. Which do you want to become? My fourth reason for why gratitude's so important is because it leads, in the end, ultimately it leads to increasing personal well-being, increasing happiness for you. Grateful givers are happy people. Jack Miller was a Christian leader in the late 20th century, and he said, "How happy a person is depends upon the depth of his gratitude." Think about that. Do you believe that? That how happy a person I am in the end is going to depend not on how healthy I am physically, or how well certain people treat me, or how much money and toys I have. It's going to depend ultimately on the depth of my gratitude. There's all kinds of studies, secular studies, that bear this out. There's that class taught in Harvard that's maxed out every semester, and it's on happiness because everyone wants to be happy. And they keep pointing out, well, research shows that there's a huge correlation between happiness and gratitude. Wonder why that would be. Maybe it's because God designed us that way. Even in the Greek, it's fascinating to me that these three words, grace and thanksgiving and joy, all have the same Greek root, that word char. So the Greek word for grace is charis, God's, so we get charity from, God's undeserved favor. The Greek word for thanksgiving is eucharisto, to speak well of God or to God because of his grace. And the Greek word for joy is the word chara. This is not an accident. This is not an accident. The more that we understand and appreciate the grace of God's love in our lives, the more that we choose to trust his love by giving thanks to him for his grace, the more joy is going to build up in our souls. That's what the Bible teaches. Nancy DeMoss again says, over time, choosing gratitude means choosing joy. Man, I love that. Of course I want to choose joy. Well, choose gratitude then. But that choice doesn't come without effort or intentionality, because we have this fallen nature that leads us toward complaint and envy. And because we have a whole culture and really a whole economy that's based on you not being content with what you have materially, sowing discontent in your heart. That choice doesn't come without effort and intentionality until, here's the goal, I'm not here yet, until a grateful spirit becomes our reflexive response to all of life. Wow. That is a great goal to work toward with God's help. Lord, I want to become more and more the kind of person that in all of life, my reflexive response is to be grateful to you. That's heavyweight spirituality. Well, I'm going to share with you then a few practical ways to cultivate thankfulness in your life. And I think there's lots of ways to do this. In fact, what I want to do is walk through these pretty quickly, and then that can be what we discuss. What have you found helpful to grow in thankfulness? I like the word cultivate as an amateur gardener. That's a good term. I know that I don't have the power to germinate seeds, and I don't have the power to create big tomatoes, right? That power has to come from somewhere else. But nevertheless, my part is, Dan knows this, my part is to cultivate. And that means to weed, to water, to fertilize. So my cultivation doesn't create the fruit, but it's essential for having a good garden. And so in the same way, we have to have a thankfulness cultivation strategy. Each of us should have that. And a lot of us have, you know, had financial retirement goals, and we had to cultivate those. The money doesn't just show up in the bank. We all know that. Anyway, one thing you can do is you can ask God to sensitize you to your own ingratitude. That's a prayer that I'm pretty sure he's going to answer if you ask him. You say, why would I want to ask that? Well, I just find that it's helpful to ask him, show me the way that I tend to be ungrateful. And when he sheds light on that, that's kind of a wake-up call. And it also, in a sense, motivates me. Lord, I want to get free from that. So that's a prayer that for enlightenment that I challenge you to ask. And you could also ask after you pray for God to open your eyes to how you tend to be ungrateful. You could ask your spouse or your best friends, people who know you well. They probably have some insight here. There's probably a reason why my wife at certain times calls me Negatron. Finally, I asked her, why do you call me that? And she said, well, if you want to know, I've got a list. And it was helpful. If you live under grace and if I take it to God. So that's an important step that I need to take recurrently. I think it is important for us to practice really appreciating the temporal blessings that God gives us. You know that phrase, count your blessings. Think of Philippians 4:8, where he says, whatever is beautiful, whatever it is of good repute, whatever is noble, whatever is true, he says, let your mind dwell on these things. Count your blessings. The goal, in my view, is to become more and more grateful for smaller and smaller blessings. That's a goal that I have in my life. You know, it's amazing how you can take a walk through nature and not even see all the beauty there, right? But with practice, I'm getting better at seeing more and more kinds of beauty in nature, even in the middle of the city, even on a walk around this property. And that's our goal. And our goal is for those blessings. You know, whether it's my physical health, which I don't, we're beginning to value that, right? I am. Now most of my walks are beginning with, God, I thank you that I have legs that work. And younger people in our home church say, why do you say that? Because I said, I don't take it for granted anymore. How about this one? Thank you for the privilege of existing. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the fact that I was born and the fact that I get to exist is a tremendous blessing that I never deserved? And to build from there, my health, the beauty all around me, every meal that I take. I mean, I've never been big about saying grace before meals, probably for a lot of reasons, some good, not so good, but the mentality I get. Every meal is a privilege. Every friend is a privilege. To become more and more grateful for smaller and smaller blessings. That is a very important and very countercultural. I think we have to find ways, especially to focus on our spiritual blessings. And I won't dwell on this because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but I especially recommend memorizing short passages that are about God's forgiveness, God's grace in our lives, and memorizing them and then meditating on them, repeating them back to God, pondering how wonderful is it that I should be called a child of God? That's what John says in 1 John 3. He's like, from what kind of planet comes a love that I should become God's love, not God's child? So meditating on those passages about God's love for me is the main way for me to focus on my spiritual blessings. I think it's good in much of our times that we set aside for prayer to intentionally begin with just a period of thanksgiving. You know, the way that I tend to want to begin times of prayer with God is by asking Him for things. And that's okay. I mean, He's my Father. I'm supposed to run to Him with whatever's on my heart. But I found that if I will deliberately just set aside the first part of my time of prayer with God to thanking Him for my temporal and spiritual blessings, that it changes the whole nature of that time of prayer. And it changes what I wind up asking Him for. I learned this from Paul, because I noticed in Paul's letters, he always begins by telling them, I give thanks to God for you. And then he says, and here's what I'm praying to God for you. I'm asking God to give you this. But he begins with thanking God for them. A lot of my prayer life would like to begin with, change my wife in this way. Or make my kids repent, right? We want to begin that way. But if we deliberately begin by thanking God for these same people and why we thank God for them, then it will change the way you pray for them. So that's key. I think this is one of the great benefits of being in fellowship with other Christians in our home groups, is that we can help each other away from negativity. And we can help each other toward more thanksgiving. We can tell our Christian friends in our home groups, I want you to speak up if I'm getting negative and ungrateful. Give them the green light to correct you on that. If I do that, they might actually correct me. That would be for you. That would be an act of love. Because, you know, like if you're like me, when I start getting into a morose, ungrateful frame of mind, I'm the one who's most miserable, right? So it's an act of love for my wife to say, you're being Negatron right now. Let me help you. I have a brother in our home church, and he is inclined to see the dark side. For different reasons, and we were taking a walk, and I said, how's it going? And man, did stuff spew out. Oh my gosh, I thought, boy, I wonder if I should have asked, how's it going? And this, and this, and this, and this. And finally, I said to him, Scott, how about if for the rest of our walk, we play the thanks game? He said, what is that? I said, well, here's how it works. I'm going to begin by giving thanks to God for one thing. And then you're it. And then it's your turn to give God thanks for one thing. And I'm it. And let's take the next 20 minutes of this walk. And he was like, I don't think I could do that. I said, I bet we can. I bet God will help us. And he's, you know, that was like 8 years ago. He has told me so many times since then, that has been so helpful for me. Because it, by the end of our walk, he was in a totally different state of mind. He'd come out of his insanity and back to sanity. So we need the help of our Christian friends, all of us do, to land on gratitude. Although biblical thanksgiving is mainly about giving thanks to God, it includes giving thanks to people for the things that they, the kindness that they've shown to us, for the favors that they've done for us, for the help that they've rendered to us. And so God's shown me, I want you to work on becoming more generous in thanking other people. There's something about that arouses resistance in my heart. Have you guys ever noticed that there's something about actually, I know so-and-so, you know, helped me the other day without me even asking him. But then I think about calling him up or the next time I see him, taking him aside and say, thanks so much for doing that. I really appreciate that. There's something inside me that's like, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't know. I think I know what it is. I think it's my sinful nature. It's my pride, because there's something humbling about thanking people for the favors they've rendered to us. It builds them up. It mortifies my pride a little bit more, and it makes for better unity between Christians. So becoming more generous in thanking other people, that's a very practical step. I got one last one, and then you guys can chip in here. Read this book. If you don't do anything else, if the outcome of this teaching doesn't do anything else but that you read this book by Nancy DeMoss, Choosing Gratitude. And notice the subtitle, Your Journey into Joy. Then this is such an awesome book. I used to hold it up at CT and I'd say to the guys, I don't think you're man enough to read this book with the daisy on the front. Read this book. It is the most biblical, practical, convicting, encouraging, enlightening book on thankfulness that I have ever read. And at the end, she has a 31-day regimen designed to help you build a habit of gratitude in your life. To read it with friends and discuss it, to go through that 31-day program, super helpful. I try to read this book every few years. I think, my gosh, I forgot all about that. Oh, we can become grateful people, folks. Our spirits can become sweet. We become attractive to people so that God can bless them even more through us. We can become sane. We can get more sane as we get old instead of less, more insane. We can shine like stars in a self-centered, entitled, complaining culture. This is big medicine, big medicine. Next week, and we're going to move on to the idea of not only receiving God's love and giving it back to him in thankfulness, but in Paul, see what he says about loving other Christians who are in our lives and how important that is and what that looks like.
Well, God, we do thank you and praise you that you're sovereign. and that you are as mindful of what's going on in Ukraine as you are as mindful of what's going on in this room today, Lord. So we do praise you that there's no God like you, and thank you that you've sought each one of us out. And Lord, we're so grateful that your Holy Spirit will be faithful to remind us of these truths, empower us of these truths, Lord, and thank you that you've brought people alongside. Because I think we make a little bit of progress, then golly, the next day it seems like we're back down in this dark hole again. So thank you that we have one another, and we've got you in order to become the kind of people you want us to be. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. All right.
Thanks for listening. This has been a Dwell Community Church production.